Good morning and grand rising, or if you are listening with me, grand evening and grand rising. It is me, Papa Seer, also known as Seer Bayo, your host, your narrator for this evening. A very special and fun episode of Who Do and Chill, the podcast. First and foremost, I want to extend my love and gracious thanks to everyone that has been supporting our podcast, keeping us consistently charting in Apple and Spotify's top 200 as well as 100 in spirituality and religion. I cannot even imagine that the success of this podcast was going to be this immense, this fast. And I just want to thank you all so much for just being amazing supporters and keeping us lifted up, as well as keeping our podcast alive. To all of our supporters who support us financially, thank you as well. We thank you so much for being able to allow us the opportunity to do what we love here at Hoodoo Conjure and Rootwork. So today, I'm not going to yell at anybody. I'm not going to lecture or do anything like that, per se. I wanted to bring up a topic because it's been on my heart. It is very relatable to my own life and to my own journey. I think us as spiritual leaders, we have the responsibility of showing our relatability whenever it is available, so that you all don't have to feel alone in this. So that the things that you're going through, you don't have to feel like you're crazy or you're the only person that might be experiencing these particular sensations or experiences. Now, something that is very heavy on my heart, in a good way, is the conversation that I want to have today with you all. And it relates to Spiritus. Some of you know what a spiritus is, or you think you know. Some of you don't, and that's fine. I'm going to get into that. But I would just ask for you to stay or at least listen to the end of this message today, because there is something here for you. I've compiled a small list of what I think is some great tips for each of you. And I also think that it might be a place of reflection for those of you who are new to the journey, but also for those of you who have been on this path. This conversation will give you a space of reflection about your own personal practice and some of the amazing things that you're already doing. We love our blueprint of what this podcast is about, which of course is the wonderful and beautiful practices of Hoodoo, Conjure, and root work. However, we will talk about a plethora of different things on this podcast, because this is a podcast that is about spirituality. The name of the show is Hoodoo and Chill, but the content here is about spirituality. I'm going somewhere with this because it really does relate to my message today, that the realm of spirituality is outside of the box of any religion or separate practice, whether it's hoodoo, conjure, Wicca, what have you. Spirituality is something that extends far beyond that realm. And what I see, and it actually warms my heart to see this, I am seeing it's like this Mecca effect, right? People are on a spiritual pilgrimage, coming back to who they are, who they are supposed to be. And what I mean is, I actually am seeing more spiritists birthing or taking their birthright more so than I am seeing actual hoodooists. Now, that statement might feel controversial to some of you, some of you I know personally, I will say, oh no, I wouldn't call you a hoodooist. I definitely would call you a spiritist or spiritualist. Definitely. I wouldn't call you a hoodooist. But what do you mean, Sierra? I love the practice. My grandmother did it. This is a part of who I am, and this, that, and the third. And I will say to you, yes, that's right. But you are also a Pandora's box of gifts, and I can see it. I can see it in your speech. I can see it in the way that your mindset is open to things beyond just the practice of hoodoo conjure or root work. And that's a good thing. Now, I don't want anyone to think or assume that I am going to utilize today's platform to tear down our practice. Of course not. Because truly, one isn't better than the other. Today's message is a space of enlightenment so that maybe you can see yourself in a different light. And at the end of this conversation, if you consider yourself a stark and soul and only hoodooist, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. A lot of our ancestors were. But by the end of today's message, you will also realize that a lot of our ancestors were not.
The Hoodoo and Chill podcast will return after this short ad break.
Hey, are you enjoying the show? If so, don't forget to follow Hoodoo and Chill on Apple and Spotify and leave us a 5-star rating. Tell us what you love about the show in the reviews. We love to hear from you. To keep this free content on air, please support the show by sending a donation of love using one of the donation links in the descriptions. Donations keep our podcasts alive and also give us the ability to enhance our content. We graciously thank you for your support. Now, back to the show.
The first portion of my message is, and I've broken this down into 5 talking points. The first one being spiritist versus hoodooist. Okay. Now, what is the difference between the two? In my opinion, when I think of a hoodooist, because I have been under the guide of someone who was a stark hoodooist. I've had a godparent, I've had a mentor that was all they were about, was just that. In my opinion, it is someone who chooses, or sometimes their capabilities or their aptitudes only allows, or someone whose spiritual path is only designed for this particular piece of the spiritual world. Meaning that your practice will be hoodoo. That's it. That's all. You will do amazing things in that realm. You will do the things your ancestors did. They will smile on you. You will make them happy, what have you. But that is where your power will resonate, and this is your lane, or that is the lane that you choose to be in. Now, the flip side of this is there are some of you where this is your lane and this is your spiritual path, and that's, it's nothing wrong with that. But then there are some of you who box yourselves and feel like, because, well, I'm Black and I'm from the South and this is the only thing that I should be doing. Or you have this supremacist attitude where you feel like your practice is more powerful or better than others, therefore you don't want to learn anything. Or you are an unstudious person and you refuse to tap into the realm of other things or the unknown because you yourself are not studious enough to put yourself in a space of learning. Now, that's bad. Because if you have the aptitude to reach for other things or to extend yourself, why wouldn't you? And I've seen it on people, and I've actually seen other people influence this attitude on some of you who are natural born spiritists. You just have this openness about you and this flow of energy that is able to tap into multiple different practices. Yet I've definitely seen you be influenced by other people. They will say things to you like, everything that you read in a book is false. You can't learn anything. You shouldn't be doing anything that isn't correlated with what you look like. Meaning, if your skin tone is black, if it's not a practice that is predominantly black, then you shouldn't be touching it. I've seen a lot of people toxify others' mental and in their own space, putting this into your brain. And I say, watch out for people like that, and don't ever let anyone tell you where your spiritual journey should begin and end. That's between you, God, your ancestors, your guides, and allow them to dictate that path for you. You will block a lot of blessings doing that, and a lot of knowledge as well. Now, there's going to be some of you that are going to fight me. A lot of you who are traditionalists and going to say to me, well, Seer, you tell me how our people were going to do anything else when they were on plantations and this, and they didn't have access, and my ancestors couldn't even read and write. So how could they tap into this and all of that? And, this is the conversation and the argument a lot of traditionalists are going to throw at me. That's fine. This is what I would say to you. That's true. That is a fact. But please don't box everyone's ancestors into your box. We have to remember that this practice is very, very regional, which is why I do not argue with people as it relates to hoodoo, conjure, or root work. You won't see me doing it, because at the end of the day, we are all giving our own opinions and just looking for a come to Jesus space or a crossroads. So I don't argue with people about it. It's all regional. What you do is going to be different than what I do. Now, what I can say is that people are only going to tap into what they have access to. If you can't read and write, and if all you have access to are the things around you, that's what you're going to do. Fact. But what happens when time evolves and people learn to read and write? What happens when people are no longer in bondage? Every person that practiced hoodoo, conjure, or root work did not come from the back hills. There were many people who practiced in urban cities, Richmond, Virginia, New Orleans, Savannah, Georgia, you know, and so on and so forth. Memphis, Tennessee. Birmingham, Alabama, urbanized industrial areas where education and access to certain books, people, exchange of knowledge was available. You see, if people study history more, they would understand that our ancestors were not only just doing this. Every person that I've read so far in hoodoo, conjuration, and root work, you know, Mr. Middleton's book, none of those practitioners were solely hoodooists. None of those people. Many of them were black. And it always it shocked me at how much information they had on so many different subjects: astronomy, astrology, human anatomy, medicine, indigenous medicine, you know, even a couple of European things, a lot of Native American things, a lot of things straight from Africa or from the Caribbean. So to sit there and say that all of our ancestors were confined to just plantations and they did not extend their knowledge, to me, is very, very degrading of who we are. Because one thing about us as people of color, when you open up the door of knowledge for us, and when we were able to read, we read everything and we wrote everything. Now, what is a spiritist? In my personal opinion, a spiritist is someone who does not have one particular practice. They may have a blueprint of something. They may have a main practice or something that they're getting into, but it's not something that they are bound to. Meaning, you might be initiated into Ifa. However, you practice hoodoo. You might be initiated into voodoo as well. A lot of people that I know that are spiritists, they have are initiated into multiple different traditions. They practice a lot of different things. They have a lot of different beliefs. And I love to have dialogue with spiritists because the conversation tends to just flow and it's beautiful because there's an openness there. Not saying once again that one is better than the other. I'm just giving you my own personal preference on where I like to exchange information. And I prefer to do it with spiritists because the knowledge that a lot of you hold is amazing. It's like we could start off talking about hoodoo and end up with Greek mythology. Because you're open to not just one thing that you've been taught. You're open to a plethora of different ideas. You're open to a plethora of different practices, magic, religion, all of those things. So when I see a lot of you calling yourselves Hoodoo Bay or just this, or just putting yourself in this box of who you are, not saying that anything is wrong with that. I just want you to have a little bit more self-reflection. Like, are you really just solely a hoodooist, or are you extending into other things? Because from what I see, many of you, this is not the only thing that you are open to. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Because I myself do not consider myself a hoodooist. I'm very much a professional spiritist. I have a lot of knowledge on a lot of different things. The biggest difference between the two, in my opinion, is that hoodoo is the application of the magic for most people. For most people, it is just a practice of magic. They're using it to get by, to bring in day-to-day certain things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then you also have a lot of people who are hoodoo spiritists, where they have integrated, whether it's Christianity, something else, different beliefs into the practice, and it truly does make for something else, okay? And most spiritists are not just looking for magic. They are looking for wisdom and ultimately enlightenment. So there is very much levels to this and very much different ways of this practice. Everybody says that you have to use the Bible for hoodoo, and you do not. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't ever have to open up the Bible, mess with the saints or anything religious to work hoodoo. You do not. That's false. You don't. That part of hoodoo is the spirituality. And most people that do that are spiritists themselves because they don't just believe in the magic. They believe in the spiritual portion of this as well. The growth, the enlightenment, the wisdom, and all of those things, the life skills that come with that. They're not just looking for the effect. And then there are some of you that are. And once again, it's nothing wrong with that. That's your own personal practice. But for my spiritists, what tips could we give you, right? That brings me to my next talking point, which, of course, always, I'm always going to revert back to time. Over time, your spiritual court will grow. And this is probably one of the best pieces of advice that I can give you, is that each of you will have something that a lot of people refer to as a spiritual court. And that's going to be your ancestors. That's going to be your spiritual guides. That is going to be all of which that you work with, deities, what have you, that are integrated into your life through companionship. And then we spoke about it on our last podcast about companionship, that are going to help you and guide you and help you maintain your life. This isn't something that you're going to get overnight. It's not something that you can just go Google a bunch of different spiritual guides and deities and pick the ones you like, and now you have a spiritual court. This is something that truly does form over time. The more you read, the more you learn, the more experiences that you have, the more spirits that are exposed to you, your court will grow. It will start off with your ancestors, and then it will grow into something bigger and beautiful and powerful. Angels, saints, Orisha, spirits of nature, the spirits that are right there in your own home that are personally for you. It truly does grow and manifest into something very powerful over time. So I would tell each and every last one of you that consider yourself spiritists or that are on this journey, or even if you just started this journey, as I always say in every lecture, and I won't stop, give yourself time. You haven't even met all of the spirits that are walking with you. You have so many more introductions to have, so many more meetings at the crossroads that you're going to have, so many more guardians that are going to expose themselves to you. Give yourself time. You don't even know all of them yet. My next talking piece that I'm going to go to, and this is very important, is keep it private. I think the biggest mistake a lot of us make is we talk way too much. We show too much. We bring people to our table that really, truly don't deserve to be there. We expose secrets of our own sacredness that should never be exposed. And I'm only speaking from experience where I've made my own mistakes. Whether that's been through posting too much on Instagram, talking too much, debating too much, being the spiritual police myself, all of those things, I've made those mistakes. And what I've learned is that if it works for you, and if it's something that's only for you, keep it to yourself. Because what's going to happen is the moment when you start telling people about your own personal rituals, your own personal theology and philosophy on things, a lot of times people are going to try to toxify your beliefs. They're going to want to debate with you, tell you that you're wrong, you're doing something wrong, don't do it like this, do it like this. And it really truly just becomes this place of like you're arguing with someone. And then for those of you who are on the journey of confidence building, this is kind of, you know, this is backtracking for you, because when you put yourself in spaces like this, it's going to affect your confidence on what you're doing. My advice is, if it's working for you, keep doing it. It's nobody else's business. If you took three pieces of grass and burned a candle with them and it got what you needed, go keep getting your three pieces of grass and don't tell anybody what you're doing. It works for you. Who's to say what is going to work for you is going to work for somebody else? We all have different energies. We all have different aptitudes. We all have different capabilities. And some of us have accessed different planes of potentiality than others. Keep it to yourself. It's a reason why a lot of things we do are hidden. It's not always because, you know, somebody's gonna be scared of you or something like that. Sometimes truly people are just gonna throw shade at what you're doing, and you don't need that energy. It's about protecting yourself. Every ritual that you do does not need to go on the internet. Every time that you manifest something, you don't have to go run and tell somebody what you did and how you did it. If you have a personal relationship with a spirit guide or a deity, and they are telling you to do things a certain way, and you are seeing benefits from your rituals, you keep doing it the way spirit guided you to do it. If I tell you 3 cups of sugar and your ancestors say 2, use 2. Because once again, us as teachers or leaders, we are just supposed to give you a blueprint. You are supposed to take that and reshape that and build your own house, build your own temple. I can give you a blueprint, but you personalize it. And how you personalize it, what you put inside your temple and what goes on inside of your temple, that's nobody's business but you and your spirit guides and you and God. And a lot of you are very talented. And please hear me with your heart right now. A lot of you are very talented and have not even peaked spiritually. Protect yourself. Because you're on the right path. And the worst thing that you can do is expose something to someone else and have them deter you when you are on the right path. And I'm saying that from the pits of my soul today. Some of you are just very talented, but you talk too much. You show too much. You do too much. Keep it to yourself. My next talking point, and this is something that I've seen in my own teaching space that I have been addressing with you all. And that's studying. Studying. If you think about a spiritual leader, a speaker, someone you look up to, someone that you learn from, even if it's me, we study. We learn a lot. We are constantly looking for spaces where we can be a student. As much as we love to talk and share knowledge and teach, we love to learn and study that much more. I probably do about 3 hours worth of actual podcasting where I'm speaking each week, but well over 20 hours of studying, reading, watching, doing whatever I need to do to learn as much as I can and gain as much knowledge as I can. And if you look at images of spiritual people, right, spiritists, they are always in places of solitude. If you look at a picture of a monk, they're studying, they're reading, they're writing. I mean, it's truly what most of you, it's kind of, you're pretty much the same thing, a monk in some sort of speak. You should be doing the same thing. The problem is a lot of us do not create enough space of sacred solitude. A lot of us do not make time for sacred solitude. We don't. And what do I mean by sacred solitude? Meaning that when you isolate yourself with intent and purpose for something sacred, and studying can be just as important and just as sacred as you laying those offerings down on your altar and praying and chanting and candle magic and all this other stuff like that. Some of us do more than we learn. And I said this to someone the other day, another practitioner. I said, you know, I think I study way more than I actually do magic. I study a lot more and pray, honestly, a lot more. The older I've gotten, I've put the candles down and I've been a lot more into praying and ritual and studying than I have been just playing hocus pocus. Because I've been in that space too, playing hocus pocus. And some of y'all are there too now. And it's okay. You will come out of that. You will elevate. You will grow. And you will see what your real power is. And you will learn that you don't have to play hocus pocus. You will learn that you don't have to pull a card for everything. Some things will just be revealed to you. Sometimes you don't even have to light a candle. You will just speak it and it shall happen. Okay? The more you learn and the more you grow on how to invoke your own personal power, a lot of these tools that you all rely on will become obsolete or not as necessary as they are right now. Again, I'm speaking to spiritists today. Study. And if you consider yourself a spiritist, study everything. Anyone that tries to demonize reading and books to you, they are a fool. You know nothing. And you have chosen to live your life in ignorance. Do not listen. Anyone that tells you to not read, run away from them. Run far away from them. They cannot teach you anything. Anyone that tells you not to read. Because the best thing about reading is you're going to learn something. And then also you will be able to dissect fact from fiction. The best thing about spiritists is that they are searching for universal law. What is universal law? Meaning that you find certain laws, you find certain characteristics, certain theology that is in all practices. This is across the boards. This makes sense everywhere. Everyone believes in this, so this has to be true. Most spiritists are not just searching for a spell. They are searching for the truth. Once again, wisdom and enlightenment. And the only way that you are going to gain that is not only through ritual. It is by studying and putting yourself in a space of sacred solitude, my people. You cannot do this if you don't study and learn. If you don't put yourself under someone who's going to teach you, if you do not invest into your learning. Some of you are looking at tens of thousands of dollars for degrees that you don't use, that don't make you any money, that you didn't even finish going to school for, but won't spend a dime towards enhancing your knowledge in the occult, in spirituality, in religion, in philosophy and theology, all of these things that actually give you life gems. Many of you want them for free. Yet you are in debt right now waiting on a white man to give you $10,000 towards it. Need I continue? Go study. And study everything. And I'm only saying this from personal experience. I've been in spaces of Santeria, Palo, Ifa, Voodoo, Hoodoo, Wicca. I've studied Celtic magic, Saint magic, cartomancy, tarot, bone reading, philosophy, theology. I've read things from the Satanist church. It's not my thing, but how can we judge something if you've never even tapped in to see what they're talking about? Rastafari, Buddhism, Zen, Feng Shui. Oh my God, indigenous magic, paganism, mythology, Kemet, even the Popol Vuh, that's the Mayan Book of the Dead. Those are just some of my experiences. And I'm not saying that for any accolades because I could care less. I'm telling you guys, if you want knowledge, make yourself knowledgeable. Learn as much as you can. And I promise you, you will find universal law. Space. Space. I'm always talking about time and space. I know y'all sick of me, but I have a different version of this as it relates to this today when I say space, right? Put yourself in more sacred spaces. Spiritism is one of the best places to heal from social anxiety. It truly is. Those of you that are more introverted, those of you who need help being around people or getting yourself out of community, this is really one of the best places to heal from that. And one thing that I really do frown upon are people who want to be spiritists or want to get in this journey and feel like they have to do it alone. You are going to make so many mistakes. I'm not saying that you can't do it, but why? Why? We are so blessed. As toxic as technology and social media can be, we are so blessed that we have access to one another. Why wouldn't you use it? Why would you not find a space where you can learn and where you can grow and just be yourself? Spiritists
should not do this alone, in my opinion. Sacred isolation and solitude is one thing, but not having a spiritual family or somebody or something, you're doing yourself a disservice. Go to church. Go to synagogues. Go to the mosque. Go to rituals. Go to misas. Go to festivals. Put yourself in different environments and see what works for you. You don't know until you experience it. How can you know what the potentiality of Buddhism is if you've never even went to one Zen meditation and experienced the power of just sitting quietly for over an hour and just how your body's going to be filled? And when somebody teaches you how to meditate, maybe I don't want to be a Buddhist, but you know what? I've now learned how to tap into a different power, right? Don't we have to meditate and focus when we do magic? Well, guess what? You just learn how to enhance that power by going to a Buddhism Zen ritual. But see, we don't think about things like that because we are so closed-minded that if it don't look like me, if my ancestors didn't do it, then I shouldn't do it. False. If anything, I would like to believe if our ancestors had more access, they would have experienced a lot more. And for them to be sitting on your altars watching you have so much access and you don't utilize it, it's kind of a slap in their face. They kind of died so that you could go where you want to go, sit with who you want to sit with. Wait a minute, because if I was correct, they kind of died for you to have that ability to kind of do what you want to do when you want to do it without nobody telling you no. And to not exercise that, it's kind of a slap in their face because they didn't have the access to be able to read what they want to read or write what they want to write or go sit with who they want to sit with or go learn from who they want to learn from. So to sit there and utilize this excuse of if my ancestors didn't do it, I'm not. You sound kind of ignorant. I'm gonna be politically correct, ignorant. Because what your ancestors are probably saying is not that I wouldn't, I couldn't. And if I could have, I would have. And being that you can, why don't you? Ancestral veneration goes far beyond just laying water on altars and giving them things that they like. Why don't you give them experiences that they never had? Knowledge that they were not allowed to get exposed to. Because if you are companions with your ancestors, then you take them with you everywhere. So I challenge you that listen to me today. Give your ancestors some experiences. Go travel. Go meet people. Go learn something. Enhance yourself. Use your time wisely. We spend a lot of time on TikTok and Instagram and watching TV and everything else. However much time that you can commit to doing things that don't grow you, I challenge you to double the amount of time that you spent on something that will. Meaning, if I watch TV for 1 hour, I'm watching Love and Hip Hop for 1 hour, that means I need to go read a book for about 2 hours or at least an hour and a half. Don't sit there and watch something that did not elevate you. Give it that an hour of your time. But you go pick up your studies for 15, 20 minutes and lay that down. That doesn't work. That has to make logical sense to me. If you're going to watch things on TV, why not shift what you're putting forth in front of your eyes? Why not watch more things that are inspirational, things that you're actually learning while you're being entertained, right? This is something that you, for those of y'all that want to be professional spiritualists, this is the attitude that you need to start having. Like, your time is precious. You can't just waste it, all of it, on entertainment. And if you're being entertained, let it be entertainment of elevation. I'm going to land here and wrap this up and say, I gave this message tonight because I have been exposed to a lot of you and your gifts and your mindset and your openness to not only just the practice of hoodoo, conjure, and root work, but just the realm of spirituality in general. And as a teacher, as a spiritual leader, that is one of the most beautiful things that I have seen grow in our community right now, is that it's not just, you know, practitioners of a certain practice being birthed, but true spiritists are being birthed. And that you all have this thirst for knowledge, but not just one type of knowledge. You want everything. And I just want to put a fire under you today and say, go get it. Go get it. And don't let anyone try to deter you from your path, because this is something that should be with you a lifetime. I cannot wait to sit at your feet later in life and learn from you. I cannot wait to see what you have to expose to the world. I cannot wait to see how your gifts are going to change the world, because I'm talking to somebody right now who has a gift that will change the world, or at least add to it. Protect yourselves, my people. Keep your practice private and to yourself, and expose only the things of yourself that you're comfortable with on a need to know basis. Don't let anyone taint your rituals, your work, your beliefs, especially if it has proven to be abundant and fluid in your own life. I want each and every last one of you to remember that you are powerful, you are knowledgeable, you are wise, and you come from wise, knowledgeable people. Your bloodline is very divine. You came from the best of the best. You will continue to create the best of the best. And I bless your hands. I bless your spirit as you go out today, that may all of the things that you touch, may it manifest as if it were gold, as if you had the Midas touch. I send you out in love and light, my people, and most importantly, protection. And with that, I release you into the atmosphere.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Hoodoo and Chill podcast. As always, we appreciate all of the love, all of the support. Donations of love keep our podcast alive and give us the ability to enhance as well as keep this free content on air. If you yourself want to donate or be a part of our supportive HCR family, please utilize the links in the description below. And we'll see you next time on the next episode of Hoodoo and Chill.